This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Warning, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to I Am Everything with your host, Shion Atown.
So, welcome to the show. First off, for people who don't know, which they will know soon, who are you guys?
We are Seafret. We're an acoustic duo from England.
Nice. And how have you been handling this era of COVID and quarantining?
Staying as busy as we can.
Yeah, I'm covered in paint. I'm decorating today. Yeah. Just cracking on, staying in.
How have you guys remained positive and, like, you know, upbeat and all that?
Seeing as much as family as we can in a distanced way, if we can get to meet them.
Right.
Which has been very little, as a lot less than we have in the past, you know, than we usually would. But going for walks as much as we can, getting outside a bit. It's been tough creatively. It's been tough, you know, because you're just locked in the room. You're locked in with yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've interviewed artists and they've said, like, you know, a lot of them are like, I don't want to focus on new material because I feel like I'm sure you guys haven't toured your new album yet all that much, right? So, And so, like, I've been talking to other artists and they said, I just want to focus on my last album because I won't be doing it justice if I write new albums. So how have you guys been doing? Have you been writing, like, new stuff or just been like, I just want to focus on the last one?
Yeah, we've been chipping away, writing as much as we can. But you're right, like, the tour got cut short for that, the new album. So
right. It
would be a shame to slam another album out and then not be able to tour it properly. But, you know, we're writing, we're preparing, so we've got songs in the bag.
Do you have, like, any plans in mind for an upcoming tour once this is over?
It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, we will be touring, yeah. Don't know when.
It just keeps getting moved. Every time we approach the dates, it's not safe to do it. As soon as people will be safe and we'll get on with it, you know.
It'll be busy.
Right. So how has the reception been for this last album?
Yeah, good, man. Good, I think.
Yeah.
For the first one, we toured it for 4 years and we've only toured it for like 3 weeks, but it was great. It was going down really well live.
Yeah.
Online, people are loving it.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's been
we took a drummer out this time, didn't we? The first album we toured a lot, just me and Harry. And we had, like, Harry used a stomp box, electric stomp box thing to get some kind of beat going. But with this one, we actually took our friend Aaron, who's a drummer, out on tour with us, which was a different kind of thing, because we could then split the setup between, like, the acoustic stuff and the more, you know, stuff that was a bit more upbeat. And it made it more of a show, and it was kind of just coming into its own. And we had a lot more shows, didn't we, around the world. To go, so we were like, it was all falling into place, and then it was like, right,
stay in, go out, stay at home.
Yeah,
so it's a shame, really, but you know, it is what it is, isn't it? People's safety is important, so
right, are you guys looking to go to North America as well with this album?
We'd love to, you know, I mean. We've been wanting to go for a few years. It's just never quite happened. And then it looked like it was going to happen. And then we got locked down. So I think as soon as we can, maybe next year, we'll be coming out for sure.
Have you guys ever toured North America?
No. We've been, but we've never
played
a gig, you know. So
I wonder what the reception would be like in terms of, like, your music and, like, who would show up and, like, what kind of crowd shows up, you know?
Yeah, it's exciting. I don't know. I mean, we do well on Spotify and stuff, so
that could
not mean anything, so we'll see. That's an exciting thing about coming to a new, you know, going to a new place.
Yeah, especially if you go to, like, the south of US, you're like, okay, what can we expect?
Yeah, because we've done South America, which has been, you know, incredible.
Right.
We've just never made it over, so, but we will do.
Have you guys gotten lots of airplay in North America that you know of?
I'm not sure. It's hard to tell.
It's hard to know.
Well, we've got an interview with you, sir. Somehow, right. But they must be playing us somewhere.
Right. Yeah. I'm surprised that they don't, like, radio stations don't call you and be like, you know, or like you don't get like messages about that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we have in the past. We haven't been able to do much recently, but you know, right. when around album releases and stuff like that, we've had different things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So where are both of you guys living now?
So I'm in I'm currently in East Yorkshire, which is just northeast England.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm in Leeds, which is West Yorkshire, which is kind of North England but in the middle.
So you guys lived in London for how long?
About 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years.
Because your last album, you know, the newest one, which is Most of Us Are Strangers, you talked about how surviving in London and then basically moving to, Briglington?
Yeah, that's our hometown.
Yeah. So how important was it that you guys lived in London to eventually move to Briglington for this album?
Yeah, really important, I think. I mean, it's funny because we wrote the first album about moving away from Bridlington and down to London.
Right.
And what inspired a lot of the second was actually moving home. You know, we'd had enough of London, had enough of it. So. Yeah, it was inspiring, man. It's a big city, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Was it, like, as glamorous as you thought when you guys first moved there? Did it, like, eventually, like, did it die out quickly?
I mean, we were from such a small, like, relaxed place, like laid back place, I guess, with not much going on. And right. Then in London, like, you know, about 18 or however old we were, and then there's everything everywhere, isn't there? It's right on you, you know, outside your door. But then there's also the pressure of, like, it never stops. So, like, you come off tour, we were getting off tour and we were tired from touring. And then we were surrounded by this, like, never-ending hum of, like, electric and activity that was going on.
Yeah.
So,
we didn't really rest.
After a while, yeah, we didn't really feel like we were getting rest, because then we'd be in the studio and then we're doing that and this. And so by moving, like, just a little bit further, I mean, England's small anyway. We can be down to London in a couple of hours.
Right.
So when we needed to be there less and less as well after we'd got the album done. Yeah. So we were kind of just living there. And then, you know, we're not the type of people who would live in London just to say we live in London. Like, we've always been kind of, we would be going home to see family on certain occasions anyway and stuff like that. And it's just a bit more of a relaxed way of life up here. You can kind of clear your head and writing's easier. You haven't got that kind of endless pressure on you.
Yeah, dip in and out. That's what we like to do.
Whereabouts in London did you guys live?
All over. We were in Putney to start with, which is kind of southwest, and then we moved to Hackney, which is, is it East London? Yeah. And then to like Wood Green, which is North London. So kind of all over, really. It was fun. We had a great time. We were just knackered. It was nice to come back.
Still tired now.
Yeah,
it's funny because, like, I was born in a small town and then moved to Toronto, and it's like, you could be doing nothing and you go home, you're like, man, I'm tired. Like, you don't know why, you're just like, I'm tired for some reason. So, like, what's, in terms of, like, when you guys lived in London versus Briglington, did you find that the music world is like small in terms of like you could talk to another band or like very a tight circle?
I think I found it tight. The circles tighter in our hometown, really, or in like a, you know, in the smaller towns. Like everyone kind of knew each other, and the London scene seemed to be quite open. And you would see the same faces over and over again. Like we bumped into the same artists at like who were on similar paths or who were maybe a couple of years down the line from where we were. Like, you know,
right.
Who would say like, oh yeah, we went there for dinner with that label, or we were taken to that show, you know. And it's funny that you see like things happening again. You think, oh wow, this is happening to me. Like this is But then it's actually happened 1,000 times before with other bands as well. It's like the same thing, like, oh, we'll take them for dinner there and then we'll get them to sign on the contract there, you know.
Yeah, weirdly makes it less special. You shouldn't think of it like that.
No, you shouldn't really.
Free meal, isn't it? Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, enjoy your life.
So do you guys miss living in the city?
We're kind of both near cities now anyway, so we've got that, you know, we can dip into right. it. I don't miss London, really. It's nice to go back to every now and again, but...
Yeah, it is fun. It is really fun.
It's always a good gig, you know, it's always like a favourite gig on tour, isn't it? You know, we tend to always end in London.
Yeah.
It's great.
So I'm gonna touch on the newest album, but because this is your show, I created my show to kind of give artists their story to tell without editing anything. And, you know, I find too much on radio, you have like a lot of editing and making the artist sound, not giving them enough story time. So this is your guys' story and your guys' show. So what song would you like me to play?
Well, Harry, do you want to decide?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, go with the first song. Most of us are strangers. Funny that it's the first song because it was the last song that we wrote for the album, and so it's the newest one on there, and I think it's my favourite, really. Yeah, so most of us are strangers.
Red lips and a cigarette, lives a life with no regrets, and it makes me wonder. Acts tough but she's struggling, camouflage but it's wearing thin. I think she's going under. Dancing through the night in electric light, wishing it could be this way forever. You don't have to hide, I'll be by your side. It's better when we do it together. Most of us are strangers who want someone to save us. We're looking out for angels and something we can hold on. We are sirens, suffering the silence. We're getting tired of trying and tired of being alone. Oh, oh, oh. Reach out when you're feeling low. Tell me everything I need to know. I wanna see you smiling. Come on, tell me how it really is. I'm sick of keeping up appearances. Don't tell me you stopped fighting. Dancing through the night in electric light, wishing it could be this way forever. You don't have to hide, I'll be by your side. Always better when we do it together. Most of us are strangers who want someone to save us. We're looking out for angels and something we can hold on. We are sirens, suffering the silence. We're getting tired of trying and tired of being alone. I don't wanna lose you, I need you with me. I don't wanna sit and watch history repeat. I see you start to move and then I watch you freeze. Thinking they don't care for anything you speak. I don't wanna lose you, I need you with me. I don't wanna sit and watch history repeat. Most of us are strangers who want someone to save us. We're looking out for angels and something we can hold on. We are sirens, suffering the silence. Are getting tired of trying and tired of being alone. Oh, 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 oh.
So we're back, and that was Most of Us Are Strangers by Seafret. Do you guys, would you rather the Seafret or no? Is that too like pretentious if someone's called you the?
That's the fine, yeah. The, keep it going, the Seafret. I love it.
Yeah. I actually love that song. And I tell you, there's one song I love off your not your new sound, but your last sound, but about that in a bit. But your new sound, Most of Us Are Strangers. What was the writing process like for this album versus your last one? Was it like significantly different?
Yeah. Couldn't be any different. It couldn't be, you know, because with the first album, we moved to London and we had a few years to kind of create it in various studios around London, also around the country, really. But building up to that, you've got all the tunes that you wrote before you moved to London. You know, we had so many songs to choose from, whereas this one, it was kind of, you know, from scratch. And we went up to Scotland to do it. And we just booked a month in the studio up there. We had a few songs, but we said, right, we've got this time to do this album in the same room with the same person, you know, the same producer. So it kind of felt more like an album in a weird way, you know, because it was done as an album. Whereas the first one kind of felt like a bunch of songs that we'd recorded in various different places with different people put together.
Right.
So very different, but a great way of doing it, because we had the pressure of we've only got that amount of time to do it, and you know, limited resources because we're just in the one studio. It was great fun.
So you guys said that Most of Us Are Strangers, that song that I just played, as like kind of like speaking out and kind of like not hiding behind what you have to say, has like the political landscape influenced that song in any way? Of being like,
Probably. I mean, we try not to be too political and
stuff
in songs. We try and stay away, but I guess probably, yeah. But loads of other things inspired that, you know. A lot of us are strangers, you know, with people that you think you're quite close to, especially with social media and all sorts like that. You can put a front on, can't you? And it can be quite scary to show your true colours in a way. So. So, mainly inspired by that kind of thing than a political way.
So have you like been in any specific situations where you kind of like harnessed that energy that you felt at that time and you kind of put it down?
I think probably so many situations, as everyone else has. Yeah. I think that's why we loved the song so much when we've done it. We were like, God, I can, you know, loads can relate to this. Right. And it's very now as well, isn't it? It's kind of like, it feels like even more and more now.
Yeah. I feel like right now, I know, you know, you guys say you don't want to make your album political, but it's like hard not to touch on, you see it in the news all the time, right? I'm not just talking about US, I'm talking about UK as well. And it's very in your face, right? So it's like, if people ignore it, it makes them look like, okay, do you not see what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and the world we're living in is very Black Mirror-esque for sure. So why did you decide to go with Most of Us Are Strangers for the album title?
Well, it just felt like it originates from like social media and stuff like that. It was kind of a comment on that. Like people who, you know, they build an image of themselves online that's not necessarily like who they are in real life. Like you'll see like a lot of, we learned that through like seeing a lot of people online and different artists and stuff like that. They're meeting them in real life and they're actually nothing like what they portray themselves as. But then it's actually, you know, we're all kind of going through the same struggles, and like a lot of us don't open up to each other. So it was a play on that as well. A lot of the album touches on that, of like kind of everyone's kind of, or worried about something's going on, or this is going on, but they're not saying a lot and dealing with it themselves. And then actually we're all going through the same thing. So it's like a strength in numbers thing. Like if we were all a bit more open, then it wouldn't be as much of a worry. You'd be like, oh, you feel that same as well. Do you feel this like anxiety of like the world's going to end?
Yeah. It kind of tied the whole album together as well, that song, in a way. I think musically, you know, melodically and kind of with what it's saying, it kind of felt quite an important song on it. So we were like, well, that's that's the title.
Have you guys, were you guys ever gonna go with any other title, or was that one just you're set on that one? You're set on that one at the start.
I think as soon as he'd wrote that tune and saw that title written down, it kind of felt, it looked right. I don't think we played with anything else.
It was weird because we'd written like all these songs and we had them all floating around, and then it was like it's been the same for the last two. It's like you do all the work and then all of a sudden it's like, well, what's it called then? And you're like, oh yeah, it needs a name. But yeah, that was the kind of last, it was the last song written, wasn't it? This was a strange.
Yeah, it's the last one. Yeah.
Yeah. So Magnetic was released last year on Valentine's Day, and it actually talked about not being in love.
Kind of like it is a love song in a sense, because it's kind of about you being attracted to this thing that maybe you shouldn't be, but that makes it more exciting. So I guess it kind of is in a weird way a love song. You know, but just saying that this thing, you know, is so magnetic, you know, it'll even though it maybe shouldn't be.
So was it like you guys purpose is by accident you put it on Valentine's Day, I presume?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a total accident. But yeah, it just happened. I guess it's quite a cool thing to do anyway. I think it was a good accident, you know.
I think it's always fascinating when stuff like that happen, when you don't realize.
Yeah, it's almost like it's fair, isn't it? It should have been released then. Probably wouldn't have had as much, I don't know, impact, or I'm not sure. It wasn't on that time, you know.
Speaking of love, you have another song called Love Won't Let Me Leave. You wrote this before. This song was like one of the first songs before the rest of them.
We wrote this. It was one of the only ones we had in the bag, you know, before we went up. To Scotland to do the album. We'd had it for maybe a year or so.
And why did you find it was important to put it on this album?
We just loved that song.
Right.
It was kind of like, you have some songs that you write and they don't stay. It's like the test of time, isn't it?
Right.
And they don't make it. But that one, it always had a place on it, weirdly. You know, even though we're writing all these new songs, we never thought that it wouldn't be on it. Musically, I like it. I think the production's great. It's simple.
Yeah.
Lyrically, I think it fits really well with it. With the album, it's just we just love it. We love playing it live too. We played it live a few times, you know, and it was like, oh, this just feels good. It's got to be on there.
Yeah,
not on there like that, you know.
I listened to the album recently, like re-listened to it, and I think that. I would love to hear that song live. So hopefully you guys come to Canada, you guys play that song sometime.
Absolutely, man. We'll do it just for you.
Speaking of this album, and maybe even your last album, would you say that this album showed more of your style than your last one?
Yeah. I think definitely. We were more in control with it, you know? Right. Not just with the writing, but with the production too. We'd learned a hell of a lot from doing the first album, and then we'd actually found the producer because he mixed a song called Be There on the first album, and we knew we liked him, and it was just great fun to do it, you know. And we did have a lot more control creatively, production wise. It feels like it's 100% us, this. Not that the first one wasn't us, because it was, you know, it definitely was.
Did you find that the last album, not the newest one, but the first one was more radio friendly, and this one wasn't, or vice versa?
I don't know. There's definitely less on production on the newer one.
Yeah.
But we kind of, whatever we put on, we made sure like you could definitely hear it, and it had a purpose on the track. Whereas with the first one, there's a lot of pads that you can't hear, they just fill out the sound, you know. Whereas with the new one, it's everything was thought about. It wasn't just like, oh, we need that to sound bigger, so we'll put some more stuff in. It was like, how can we make it sound bigger with what we've got? Because we had a lot less equipment in the studio, you know. We couldn't just go, oh, it sound nice with some Moog on there. Oh, it's a Moog there, you know. We didn't have that, so we kind of had to, you know, we kind of had five guitars, us, a piano, drums. We had a synthesizer, that was pretty much it, which was great, you know. I think it's good to limit yourself.
Yeah.
If you've got everything, you will put everything on there. So.
And do you guys already have, like, I know you guys haven't focused on a new material, but do you guys have a game plan in mind? Like, okay, the next album has to be this and this and that.
I think we'd probably do subconsciously. I mean, we've written a few songs recently that have not as similar, but you know, the different songs, but kind of got a vibe going that excites us. So
yeah,
I imagine we will go down that route. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so second song, what would you like it to be?
I'm gonna go with Be My Queen. Simply, well, we love that song, but it's a lot of fun to play live and it's a lot of fun to listen to, so yeah, Be My Queen.
I was wondering, have you ever been anything other than true? Have you never been good, but I've never been better? I was wondering, have you ever been anything other than you? Is that true? We're not gonna be here forever. I don't want to stay here on my own. Never been good, but I've never been better.
Out the window, you are listening to No Restrictions Radio. I am everything.
Well, that was Be My Queen by Seafret. And before we get back to the interview, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you a little inside secret, all right? I don't really tell secrets to very many people. However, I will tell you a secret about this great company. If you haven't already, you really need to check out the Crummy Cookie Dough Company. They make their cookie dough with all the best stuff, responsible ingredients you recognize and respect, so you can feel great about treating your family and yourself. So yes, even during this COVID time, they are open. You go pick some up, all right? It'll be amazing. You'll love it. You don't even have to cook it. You can just eat it raw. It's the Crummy Cookie Dough Company makes the cookie dough that is 100% safe to eat. No baking required. So, you know, if you love cookie dough and you want something safe for the children or for you, I recommend you check them out. You can visit their website, thecrummycookiedoughco.com. That's crummy, spelled C-R-U-M-B-Y. Or on Facebook at The Crummy Cookie Dough Co. They're really cool women. Great shop. You know, I'm trying to lose weight, so I wish I could eat a lot of their stuff. And eventually I will. Okay, just don't tell my pounds that. But you can too. So check them out. They're on Skip the Dishes and Uber Eats and DoorDash and through their website as well. So they're pretty cool. And so check them out and back to the interview.
All right. So we're back and that was Be My Queen by, again, Seafret. So you're covered in paint. Why are you covered in paint?
Well, I'm currently decorating the music room. I've taken an hour out to do this, which was, I think, a much needed break. But yeah, I'll be going back to it after.
Have you guys been hanging out or not seen each other in a while?
We can't, can we? I mean, you know, we can't mix. We've seen when we've been able to, we've been getting together when we can. We managed to, we released recently a piano sessions EP, which we managed to get together to record. But apart from that, no. Which is weird because we're normally like, you know, we normally see each other all the time, don't we?
All the time, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Being in a band that you guys, you know, you guys been in a band for quite a while. Do you ever get sick of each other or is it just kind of like a sibling thing where you're like...
Yeah, all the time. All the time.
All the time. We don't like each other now. It's just about the money. No, we don't. We don't actually, do we?
You're starting to sound like Oasis here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We passed that a long time ago.
Yeah, everything's 50-50, so there's no arguments.
Yeah, we don't argue because everything's split down the middle.
Is it true that you guys met at a like open mic and you're like, let's do this?
Yeah. Pretty much that. Yeah, we were both there separately and then we met that night, obviously, got on. And then the following week we were writing tunes. It was that quick, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I'd never written any songs before. And Harry had only played like with his dad's band. So we were starting from fresh, but it just felt right, didn't it?
Yeah, we just clicked instantly.
Yeah,
you just jammed the friendship, you know, it was great.
Yeah,
it
wasn't Harry had loads of guitar parts, you know, no lyrics over them. So I just, I was like, I think I can write to this, you know. And then I had to go and it was like, it was good. We made a little CD, didn't we? Didn't we do a little recording?
We did a little CD, a couple of originals, mainly covers.
Yeah,
it was great that, you know, we sat at the printer printing them all out ourselves, you know, folding the card and
yeah
it was good fun.
Worth a fortune, them CDs now.
Yeah, I've got looked.
I always find that fascinating though, like when you guys were like, oh, I like your voice, let's do this. It's like, you know, you need to have a certain drive to actually start a band, but not just start a band because it's, you do more than just sing, like doing it, like being in a band is like an actual like process. You gotta, you know, think about writing songs and communicating with each other. So like, how did you guys realize, okay, we're really doing this? Was there like a moment?
For a while, we loved doing it and we kind of like, we clicked that much that doing the music made the friendship better, but then the friendship made the music better, and it just kind of went like that.
Yeah, and we never set out really to be in a band, did we? Like, we were just doing it at the start, you know, for the love of it. But then we went and played somewhere and people came to see us and then they were like, you should play there. And then we played there and we got some support slots and it just seemed to grow. And we actually had our first show before we had a band name. So we were like, we didn't even know what we were called or we didn't consider ourselves as a band, you know.
Jack and Ari.
Yeah.
Was there any other band name you were going to go with before Seafret?
No.
It was, we arrived at it quite quick, didn't we? We took it from the guitar fret and Growing Up By The Sea. Mm. But we didn't know what it meant at first, did we? We were like, Seafret, what's that? It's actually the name of like a fog, isn't it? Or some of them rolls in off the sea.
Yeah, it's a mist that comes in off the sea in summer. Everyone hates it from where I'm sound, like, oh, it's a bloody Seafret again, you know.
Yeah.
But the cool part to that is you can actually play your music in the background while that's happening and it'll make sense.
Yeah.
We played a festival early on and it literally, as soon as we started, that it just got really foggy and everyone blamed us.
Yeah, they blamed us. They said, because it was a real nice sunny day, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden this fog just rolled in after we played and they were just like, that's your fault.
Nice. So I guess like over here in the US, your songs have been featured on a couple TV shows. Like I can think of like The Royals. I think actually, I'm pretty sure that's how I found out about you guys originally.
Oh, sound.
So, I mean, what was that like? Have you guys ever like watched a show and be like, that's our song? Or, I'm sure you guys knew beforehand, right? But
yeah, there's been a few like that, aren't there? They got into a film called The Longest Ride and it was like the last scene at the end. And we just got that like an email through saying, do you want this to happen? And we were like,
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, of course you do.
It's a great way for people to discover it. It's a great way for people to discover it and for like us to discover music. If you see it with some kind of visual image or like film or anything, you know, you kind of, you see it and you hear it in a different way, or it can relate to, you know, if you've enjoyed that film or if you've, something's happened that day and you've seen it and you remember it and then you're like, what is that song like? Certain things come on TV and you hear a song and you're like, you might hear 5 seconds of it and you're like, I need to listen to that song.
Yeah.
Great way to get
when you don't know. Sometimes you don't know it's happening and then you're watching it and you just hear it. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that before, haven't we, over here?
Yeah, yeah, loads. Yeah.
I can.
It's great when it's something you love. Like, I started watching this program called New Amsterdam, which is like a series. And then, like, we had our song on there, and I was buzzing. Like, I was like, oh, that's great. Nowhere near as big as the other stuff, but because I was really into that program, I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I can definitely picture your music on the TV show This Is Us. I think it, like as a season finale, you know?
Yeah. Tell me.
I always wanted to be that person to find songs for TV shows. Like, imagine that was your specific job. That was all you did.
Great job.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it though, because I just have all Seafret songs on everything.
Hey, you gotta plug it somehow.
Yeah.
You gotta pay the bills.
Speaking of, one of my favorite songs from you guys is from your first album, Oceans, and it features a young Maisie Williams, which I think is pretty cool. This was probably before Game of Thrones, I'm guessing, or like probably
early Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So how did this come about?
So we were working with a director called
Jonathan Entwistle.
Good lad, Jonathan Entwistle. And he basically loved the song when he'd heard it. We teamed up with him for ideas and stuff. And he wanted to send it out to some of his friends and contacts and people who he knew. And he sent it out, and Maisie was one of those people. And we didn't, we didn't know who she was. But she just tweeted us saying, I love Seaford, didn't she? And then we saw this tweet, clicked on it, and she had like millions of followers. It was like, this person's obviously like big time, whoever she is. And then we both actually watched Game of Thrones at like after the music video had been shot, but about a couple of weeks later we were on set with her and, you know, filming the video, and she was cool. She was real down to earth.
Yeah, she was lovely. Like, yeah.
I got her to sign a book for my friend, because he'd lost his mum and he was a huge fan of the show. But she was like, yeah, of course I'll do it. Yeah, and she was like that. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now she's a big movie star.
Yeah, we'd never be able to afford her now.
I mean, that's pretty cool that you got her though on like.
Yeah, we were chilling, man. And she's amazing in the video as she is in, you know, Game of Thrones.
Like,
yeah. Really, and cool. What is, so like for me, when I listen to Oceans, I was going through a bad breakup, but like I like loved that song at that time. And I still do. It's like amazing. What did the song mean to you?
It was during the first album. So it was when we moved to London. We were probably both in relationships at the time. It was like that kind of like being away from the people you love. And it's pretty like, it's quite self-explanatory in the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it says it all.
Just feeling like lost a bit.
It was fresh. We'd only just moved down. We hadn't been down to London a long time.
Yeah, no. It was actually one of like the most natural songs for us to write. Like some songs just come out and you can write them in an afternoon, you know. Mm. And you know, you played the chords, didn't you? And I did the melody, and then it was like,
it wrote itself. We only just sat
down, and then, you know, the chorus came, and then you're like, right, dinner time then. And it was all done, you know. And some songs, I can sit with songs, we can have ideas, you know, and we'll build it all up nearly the way to the end. And then I'll sit with for 2 months and bang my head against the wall and be, and then just forget about them for a bit, and then go back to them 6 months later and I can finish them, you know. You can't force them. I mean, the way you can get around it is have a lot of songwriters in a room. It's the way you can skip. That's the way you can jump forward. You can be like, I can't do this. Someone else goes, I can.
Yeah, I mean, I love Oceans, and then also Be There was like another song I was listening to at a time too. Like, I was going through this bad breakup. I was like, Seafret, you got me. You feel me?
Yeah. I think a lot of people got on that. You know?
Yeah.
It's good. There's always a space for that. I mean, it's come a bit more mainstream now. But you know, with big, like, massive pop acoustic acts. But there's something about the indie version of it. You know, there's something about smaller bands who are putting out these songs that have a bit more of a real, raw, like, energy to them. They feel like they're coming from a real place, which is nice. And they don't feel like they're just, like, manufactured songs.
Yeah, you know? Of course. So I got random questions now. Give the answer that comes to mind first. So, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
What was your favorite video to make?
Loving Monsters. You.
Jack, you go first.
Okay, Loving You.
What did you say, Harry?
Monsters.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite song to play live?
I don't really have any. We don't play it anymore, but Over was my least favorite because at one point I had to play electric guitar and sing.
Yeah, it didn't suit you that.
Yeah.
No.
I hate them all.
Yeah. What's your best city to play in, or even country or city or whatever?
It'll be Toronto, won't it?
Hey.
So far, for the crowds and stuff, maybe. I mean, South America was mad. It was really good. It was really good. But hard to hear yourself play.
Yeah. I like Russia.
Yeah, Russia's good. It's good everywhere, and they've all got their own different quirks and their own different special, you know, the little special bits. And
yeah, I mean,
something different from everywhere. It's good.
I mean, Russia is different than any other place, so it's like a whole different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Good vodka.
What are you guys' pet peeves? Do you have any, or is that a North American word?
That's a North American word, I think.
So like, what are like some things that? What's like one thing that annoys you? Like not like in people. Oh,
yeah. Biting your nails.
Yeah.
Well, people are like, all the old time.
Yeah.
I am though, and it annoys me.
Yeah. What? Just fidgeting.
I fidget all the time and play with you. Yeah.
What about you, Harry? You go with that answer?
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
What's your favorite underrated artist? Aren't you guys?
I've always liked Ages and Ages, a band called Ages and Ages. They're quite, I mean, they're probably quite well known, but they're not that well known.
Right.
I like them. I also love Father John Misty as well. I think he's great. But it's not massive, you know.
Yeah. Gaz Coombs for me.
Yeah, Gaz Coombs.
I think he was, you know, quite big with Supergrass and stuff, wasn't he? But kind of his solo stuff's not, like, we went to see him in a little venue, which was great, but you just think, you know, these tunes should be in an arena.
Yeah, it's underrated.
Yeah, massively.
I gotta check them out. I ask this question so I get new music ideas. That's
kind of
my
lastly, 2021 goals.
Do a gig.
Stay healthy. And do as much writing and stuff as we can. Do as much band stuff as we can.
I like it.
It's tricky at the minute, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, be nice to get out.
So before we end it, last song, what would you guys like me to play?
Off the new album. Can you remind me of what we've had so far?
We've had Most of Us Are Strangers and Be My Queen.
I think it should be Parachute. Our new piano version of a song called Parachute that we've just put out.
And what does that song mean to you?
It's about
Jack
when
skydiving.
Yeah, it's about when we went skydiving together and we just held hands and fell from a plane, really. Just about finding something that, something or someone that makes you feel safe in a weird situation.
Awesome. So before I end the show, is there anything you guys want to throw, anything you want to pitch, or anything I missed that you want fans to know about?
Just need to tell everyone to stay safe, and thank you for listening all the way out there. And we look forward to coming and playing for you all.
I love your hair, how it shines in the sun, and how we kiss in the dark. Sometimes I feel like my race is run, and you take me back to a start. The road looked tricky straight up ahead, but we keep doing our best. You are the light that shines the dark from my head, my little glass of happiness. Don't be afraid to let go, I'll be here when you get home. The best things are worth waiting for. We can fall right out of the highest plane. With you by my side, I know I'll be safe. You're my parachute. You're my parachute. Time went by and we stuck to the road, through storms always holding on. Because of you I will never be alone, because of you I am strong. Don't be afraid to let go, I'll be here when you get home. The best things are afraid.
Do you know who my parachute is? My girlfriend. That song was dedicated to you. I want to thank Seafret for joining me today. And we have a coming up. We have some pretty cool artists. I'm not gonna give it away, but check me out at the end of the month. I'm gonna have a Mortician as well. That's going to be very interesting. I want to thank Crumbie Cookie Company for sponsoring my show, because without them, where would I be? They're a great product, great women, and they help me out. Crumbie Cookie Company, check them out. Responsible ingredients. I promise you, you will love it. I'm locked in my closet with Bruce Lee. Long story. However, let's end the night for a world premiere. I have a world premiere for you. Here's a world premiere for one of my favorite bands, Close Friends. I played them before. You know them. If you've been listening to me, you know them. Here is Mono Wells for the world premiere.
World premiere.
Young and adulterated, life is R-rated, love equals sex, sex makes you famous, parents can't blame us, oh what a mess, to live for success, willing and able, both hands on the table, I can only choose, fact or fable, throw out the roses, out with the old and in with the new, out with the old and in with the new, out with the old and in with the new, out with the old and in with the, out with the old and in with the, out with the old and in with the, young and adulterated, soon to be jaded, go fund your excess, pursuits to impress, teachers can't save us, judges can
you're listening to I Am Everything on CKMS 102.7 FM. We'll be right back. I Am Everything with Shion A-Town.